The Workshop Downtown Podcast with
Ashley Ayala
and Kelly Bennett. This is a weekly podcast for people seeking to build a cool brand, business, lifestyle, and impact. Each week, we'll talk shop about the real behind the scenes of being a small business owner. We'll also talk to local change makers, interview people we adore, and just share about things that we dig. Episode 14. Hey guys, it's Kelly. We're back with Ashley, and this is the Workshop Downtown podcast. And this week, we are talking all about your creative process. So we've touched upon before that we are creative directors, that we create a lot of projects, brands, collaborations, partnerships, brand experiences, a lot of things. We create a lot of things. And this came to me actually this morning because I was just personally interested of Ashley's creative process because she's creating a lot of products. Now she's working on a new product that I'll let her share about. And just the whole thing, seeing it come to life from her brain to real life is really fascinating. I love seeing how people create things. So we're going to dive into what our creative processes are and just sharing some insight that you could also then tune into your own creative process, because I think the more you understand how your brain works and how your mind works and how your productivity works, the more powerful you become.
Absolutely.
Sounds good?
I agree. Yes.
All right, Ashley.
Okay, so my
creative process. How does your brain work? What is your creative process?
By nature, I'm very impulsive. So when I am inspired or I love, okay, so backtrack. I love being inspired by imagery. I also like, I'm a very like kinesthetic learner, so I like going to places and getting inspiration from either nature or design, like places that I like that are designed really well, products. It was funny because when I was in college, I was going to school for photography, and I would tell my roommate, I'm like, I'm a product label junkie. And I remember telling her, like, I don't know what it is, but I love labels. Like, I will buy a product if the label is really nicely designed. I was like, is that a weird thing? And she's like, yeah, you're a total weirdo. So for the longest time, I just thought I was a weirdo. And then now in retrospect, I graduated in 2011. So what is this, 7 years later, I'm like, oh, it all makes sense. I like branding. Okay, so anyway, yeah. So I like looking at products. I go to Anthropology every once in a while, just to look at their products and their displays and just like to get inspired. Yeah. The colors, the textures. I just love, there's whenever there's a Las Vegas market in town, Brianna, our producer, went with me to the last one that was in, what was that, like in January, I think, or something. But we went and just to go and see different design concepts, different furniture. I'm really into different world, like textiles and, and just like, handicrafts and things like that. So anytime I can get inspiration from, and even Target, sometimes I'll walk around Target and like, oh, that's a cool design, the way they made that bag, or, you know, and I don't buy stuff. I just look at it, you know, and I enjoy it. And I, try to get inspiration from that. So that's part of the creative process. And then, like I said, I'm really impulsive. So I usually try and jump on an idea if I feel like it's worthwhile quickly, because I'm also a procrastinator. So if I don't do it quickly, then it might take me a year. So part of that
too, 10 years, maybe.
So it's a big part of it is writing it down, and that helps me with the impulsive nature to just like go and like act on something really quickly, which is can be very good in entrepreneurship when you hone that skill, and deciphering, you know, what is a good idea to jump on and what's not good. But so I try to write down the ideas that I have, so that I have like a paper trail of when this idea came to me, kind of what the idea behind it is. So one great example is this bag. So I just created with Imani Collective, who is in Kenya, this tote bag that I've been dreaming up like probably around a year. And I just, I had been thinking about, so I take a lot of classes. I probably came from one of Kelly's classes, but listening to the creative, people talk about their creative process or how to tap into your creativity or how to really visualize your brand and what you want to see. And somewhere in one of these things, this idea came up for this bag, and I really think I was thinking about the concept of Sister House Collective, and how it really came from this idea that as women, and just as people, we're all humans, so we are connected by our human nature, and we need to be cognizant of that, because I think a huge disconnect, especially now more than ever, and I'm sure this just continues as time goes on, but people get disconnected from each other. And I think with the advent of social media, a lot of people have gotten disconnected. So we think like, oh, well, it's like seeing a homeless person on the street. Some people's mentality is, oh, that sucks for them. Mm-hmm. You know? And so my mentality has always been, oh my God, that could be me. Like, I put myself in everyone's shoes. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of started Sister House with this notion of getting back in touch with human connection and knowing that we have the power to impact women in our direct community, women overseas, like, we should be, right? If we have the opportunity to help others, then we absolutely should do whatever's in our power to help others. So this idea for the tote bag, well, it was a phrase, and actually I didn't know what it was going to be put on, but it's perfect that I found Imani Collective, because they make beautiful, really sturdy canvas tote bags.
It really is beautiful.
Yes, and I have been really learning through the pop-up culture that people really love as consumers or shoppers when they can talk to you about a product and you can say, like, yes, I designed that, yes, I made that, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So I think something I've learned with Sister House over the years is that because I'm kind of that third party, I pop up saying, oh no, I didn't make that blanket, but I can tell you about the woman who made it. There's just that one degree of disconnect, and people aren't as likely to maybe purchase something. So I've been wanting to get into the designing of products, but I also have this minimalist mindset of like, oh, well, should I be creating more in the world, like more physical, tangible things? Like, there's already so many great things out there that I want to share, so should I really create more? Anyway, that was an internal struggle that I probably didn't need to tell you guys the backstory about.
No, I totally
get
that. I think about that often.
Yeah, but so I don't know, this was something that I felt, okay, these tote bags are perfect, so I'm going to put this phrase on it, and the phrase is her sister, his sister, your sister, my sister, our sister. So, you know, when we think about women in the developing world, our next door neighbor, the woman at the grocery store checkout, do we think of those people as being a person that we should be invested in emotionally? Mm-hmm. Should we be invested in their well-being? And, you know, so anyway, I won't go on a whole tangent about it, but this is a phrase that, yeah, has been really close to my heart, and I've wanted to do something and act on that inspiration of wanting to share that message. And so part of my creative process was writing this down. So I've had this phrase written down for like probably a year. I should find my notes where I first wrote it. But yeah, so when I have an idea, I'm impulsive, so I write down what the idea is, and then I do research on how I could execute this idea. So
what does that look like?
So a lot of the time, so a good example would be in the shop, having different brands. Maybe I would see a brand out in the world and think like, oh, okay, you know, I might like to carry that, whatever. Part of my process of bringing that piece into the shop or finding out like this with the tote, finding out how much it would cost. Like, if I want to turn this into a postcard, how much would that cost? If I want to turn it into a tote bag, how much would that cost? And kind of looking at just doing the research about what it would cost, what it would sell for. Is it something that I think would, that other people will resonate with that message? Just doing some research and really doing just some intuitive, like tapping into my own intuition. Are people going to like this thing?
Also, too, I know that you were doing, like, polls on Instagram.
Yes.
With different product ideas and stuff like that. So getting a pulse of, like, what your people already wanted or they would be excited about.
And yes. So Kelly,
bringing them into that curation.
Yeah. I had brought this up earlier this year or end of last year, talking about bringing in the people who already love your brand and asking them their feedback on things. So definitely that has been helpful. Yeah. Doing research on, yeah, do people want, would they buy a tote bag? You know, would they, yeah, want to support that kind of message, or do they want instead to see more candles in the shop, or, you know, things right. like that. So doing research, that's all part of that one. And then the next step is reaching out. So after kind of deciding, okay, this is the avenue I'm going to go. So with the tote bags, deciding, okay, this is what I'm going to have printed. And like I said, this took me like a year to do this, to actually make that decision, reach out to the people making it and say, hey, is this a possibility? Let's kind of explore what that would look like. What's the timeline? You know, that kind of thing. So writing it down, doing research, reaching out, and then making moves is my last.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Making moves.
Making moves is scary. Because you don't, you know, you never 100% know. Plenty of times I've bought stuff for the shop or made something that I was like, oh, people will love this. And then I sit on it for a really long time because people didn't love it. So I think there comes a point where between reaching out and making moves where you really, like for me, I have to decide like, okay, I love this enough to take a risk on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I love that. Making moves. And I think, too, for even myself, when I do something that is maybe a little bit of a long shot, I know how if it doesn't work out totally, I could also leverage it to help something else, or right. I could, like, resell it, or, you know, like, I think that helps with anxiety of the last step,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you can kind of maneuver, even mm-hmm. worst-case scenario,
yeah.
you can make it work still.
Well, and I think, and I framed this, too, around just my creative process lately, and that bag in particular, but even just, like, coming up with new concepts, like mm-hmm. earlier this year, coming up with the concept for the workshop. This
yeah.
was totally our creative process, was writing it down. What does it actually look like on paper? Doing research. How much is it going to cost for us to rent a space? So how much is it going to cost for us for food? What mm-hmm. is it going to cost for us to curate products for people? And really just laying it all out on paper, and then starting to reach out to people. What is actually tangibly available? And is it possible? Like, could we turn this dream into a reality? And then making moves and booking stuff. And
that's always the scariest part. I remember when we bought the space or rented the space for the annex and the public us. And I was like, yeah, we think that we're going to have 10 people in March. Maybe. Okay, cool. Let's just do it. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, well, worst case scenario, we bought a lot of food. We'll have our own party and be like, well, we tried. Yeah. We'll go Instagram live and talk about, you know, even when you fail, you still won or some
yeah,
you shit know. Like that. And we'll have a big feast and we'll yeah. give it away too. Like that in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah. So worst case scenario, we could still like make it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's so important of just, like, sometimes you really, truly just have to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
You really just have to make the move. And whatever move that you're able to make, even as small as it is, start making that move because mm-hmm. they all contribute and they all build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get out of your head about, well, what am I creating? What does this mean? Because it could be very heady,
mm-hmm.
the creative process. And so anything to help you take out of your brain and just into your heart and into action, I think,
and is this, a sweet spot. I know Kelly talks about this a lot in the workshop, but not being so in your head and being so wrapped mm-hmm. up in what happens if I fail? What happens if this idea fails? What
yeah.
happens if this concept fails or this product doesn't sell? Like, we can worry all day long, yeah, but at the end of the day, try it. Make a move.
Try
and if it.
It
feels better doing it small, do it small. Like the tote bags. I'm like, I don't know if they're all going to sell. So I'm ordering 20, not 100. Because I...
Exactly.
You know, that feels like a
safe number. And I still
like
have to buy one.
Oh.
I posted on Instagram.
Oh.
But I didn't forget.
No worries, girl.
Okay, I just want to put that publicly that I am requesting a bag. Because it really is so cool. And I'm so proud of you because I know that you have been talking about this tote bag. And now it's here and it's hanging up on the wall where we're at recording the tiny house. And it's so fucking cool because it's like you have these ideas and you really went through the creative process, even working with a global partner on it to make sure that it was ethically sourced.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of your process, too, when you're looking at the sourcing, how it's going to
yeah,
be made, right?
That's a big part of research, too.
And now it's here and people want it. And it's just really cool. And it's something that you should be really proud of.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people think about it. And I'm also speaking for myself. There's so many ideas that I still have on the shelf that I'm like, damn, Ashley's making moves. They're going to step it up. For real. Like, it's really inspiring. Even if, like, that wasn't necessarily the intention of the bag, you're also just, because you're doing it, you're also inspiring other people to just do it. So I think that's really cool, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. A lot of good things from that one tote bag.
Yeah, good.
It's cool what a tote bag could do.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this creative process in the context of being a creative director and what that even means. I think being a creative director still is a very kind of open-ended thing. So for me, a lot of my creative direction comes from people having a concept, and I am in charge of making it happen. Some things are my own concepts, but similar to yours, it's like some that you're creating yourself or some that you're working with someone else to create the process. So when I hear a cool idea that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be in this, I want to be the creative director of this project, I usually see it in my brain. Like, I see it in my brain of what it looks like, what it feels like, the font, the colors. It's really weird. I just see it in the forefront of my brain, and I'm like, oh, got it. I remember even with Vegination, when Jeff was telling me the concept, within a minute, I saw the whole space. And so that's just how I am. I just visualize it, and then I grab my notebook, and I write everything down. And he even brought a sketch of something. So we're working on an idea, and he told me just very little, and then my sketch looks like crazy land because I'm not a graphic designer by any means. But just, like, putting it down and putting down the little bits, it just helps me conceptualize what I see in my head. So I like to write in my notebook, and then I like to make a checklist. So something that I'm working on is having, like, my creative direction checklist of, like, what are the things I need for a brand to be completed? What do I need for the brand curation? What are the elements of the brand that I'm going to need? Who are the people that I want to build relationships with? Like, I really want to build relationships with people who do white private labeling of product, and also to printing on packaging that's more custom, that's affordable, but equally...
I just did all that research yesterday. I'll send you some stuff.
And then the universe helps you live your dreams. Thank you, Ashley, because that's literally what I've been stressing about with this concept. So thank you. Okay, yeah, great. Welcome. Well, all right. So another little collaboration in the works right now. And so... making that list of the people that I need to meet or know or how to source it. And I think for myself, I love to create mood boards on Instagram. So Madeline makes fun of me all the time that I'm always on Instagram, but I swear a lot of it...
You're like, I'm working.
Is...
Babe. I'm working.
is, like, market research and me creating mood boards.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like Pinterest. I'm not a big Pinterest person. I'm now into Instagram mood boards, so...
You know what? I'm just into having everything on one platform. Can we just combine them all?
All the things into one. I would love
one
that.
One app. One single app.
I'm totally into that because it's just too many things.
If anyone's listening and wants to create that app, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll be your trial
We'll use
people.
It. We'll try it out. We'll let you know how it is. But yeah, I just love that feature, so... I create the mood board for something, and I usually have it on my personal account, and then the other brands that I work on, I'll have it on there. And then I make a Google Doc. I love Google Docs, and if I'm working with someone, yeah. The other day, I was like, hey, Ashley, can we start another Google Doc together? Like a little nerd, but
You're very organized.
I make my list. Yeah, I like to make my list and keep it organized. And then... something else that I've been doing, part of my creative process, and I don't know exactly how to articulate it yet, but something that I've been really mindful of, as much as all the branding and all the products and all the creative direction that I've done, and being really mindful of how it impacts animals, the planet, now I'm really looking into how it impacts and making sure I'm representing marginalized communities. So, like, doing a lot of research, even listening to, like, Joy of... Cupcake Girls, of, like, women who are sex workers, or like what are their needs, and like when you're marketing to a product for them, what are they looking for? Mm-hmm. Or doing a lot of research in like the queer community, what are they feeling like they're not being representative? And even though I'm in that community, I don't necessarily work in it all the time, but just like really listening, other women of color that, you know, their community, what they're seeking to see in media and change and how they want to be represented. People who are gender non-binary, how they seek to be represented, people with disabilities, like mm-hmm. a lot of, that's what I do love about social media, because I'm able to really listen and go into spaces that are created by these communities for these communities, but they're also open to people like, hey, if you work in media or if you work in marketing, like this is how we really want to see the world change. And I think as creative directors, we have an awesome power to represent more people, mm-hmm. so make it more inclusive. So that's something too that I've been really mindful in my creative process, so that while I'm creating products, I'm not just always marketing to the same person. And we've had this conversation before of like mm-hmm. how conscious goods can be very white and very upper class and very expensive and, you know, feels very elitist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And something that Ashley and I are very passionate about, like breaking that, so that when we are marketing and we are talking to different communities, like we're being as inclusive as humanly possible. So that's something that I've been really holding myself more true to, because it could be simple to, like, once you find out you're doing something well, just to keep doing it mm-hmm. and you're not pushing yourself. But I think that's going to be short-lived very soon. I think the wave of marketing and media and all that good stuff is going to be the more inclusion, the better. And not just because I see it as a trend and how businesses are going to thrive. I think it's just morally important. Going back to our non-negotiable mm-hmm. Episode, being as inclusive as possible, I think, is just the future. Mm-hmm. So putting that into the creative process, making sure that when people come into the space, a bit of each community feels represented. Mm-hmm. And not making it necessarily a political statement, which you could go into, but I think just as a human statement mm-hmm. Is really important. So I like to incorporate that now in the creative process. And this part that I'm going to say, a lot of people disagree with, but I like to share what I'm working on with as many people as possible and as many different people as possible. And a lot of people, a lot of creatives get really weird on that step, because they're like, people are going to steal your idea, and like, you can't tell anyone until you have the investment or the product. I honestly don't care. I'm like, actually, please rip it off, because I'll see what the market says with your knockoff of my idea. You'll spend the money educating consumers of why it's so important to buy, and then I'll just come out with a better product. So I'm not really worried about it, and mm-hmm. it happens. I see it in the market already. So I like to share about my creative ideas, and that's part of my creative process of, like, hearing other people's feedback, seeing how they perceive things. And, you know, there was times, I remember when we were working on Vegination, people were like, that's a horrible name, don't name it that. And I have to say, Shift Donald was like, nope. That's the name, non-negotiable, and I'm so glad that he kept it that way. Mm-hmm. But we were able to see things that people were going to ask questions about before it fully launched, because we did pop-ups for almost 3 years before it opened, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that stuff is important, so don't get too weird, guys, about, like, not sharing anything until it's perfect. Like, you have to have some oxygen, and you have to have some other eyes. Because I've seen even big companies go to market with stuff that's just blatantly wrong. Like, so offensive, out of touch, out of whack. And so, as a small business, our advantage to going to market sooner and being able to be more cutting edge and be more forward, we have that and use that and leverage it as much as possible. Because mm-hmm. most big companies don't have that ability. And we do. Mm-hmm. That's actually a big pro of being a small business.
Yeah. We got power.
We got power. We do. We have a lot of awesome power to create change. So using that responsibly. The last thing on my creative process is taking care of myself. And this keeps coming up on everything. But I notice if, like, I'm not eating, if I smell, because I haven't taken a shower in days, if my Airstream looks like someone robbed us, but just cooked a lot and just didn't do the dishes, like, that's how they robbed us. But you know what I'm saying? Like, actually, this weekend, I walked in, I was like, wow, this looks like someone was in here for months. Like, what the hell is going on? And then I'm thinking, like, we bought all this stuff. I still have the credit card I have to pay off. And, like, things are already getting trashed. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So I think for myself, like, feeling like I have a clean home and, like, doing the dishes and I took a shower today and I'm gonna get healthy food and meal prep, like, that helps my brain stay creative so I'm not just stressing out over the little things.
Yes, that happened to me last week, actually. Yeah. I worked from home twice, 2 days, many hours, and I actually just sat down at the kitchen table and worked, which is, like, that will never happen because normally there's a mess somewhere at home that if I'm home, supposed to be working, I'll be cleaning instead because I'm like, well, I just can't get creative or think about, you know, I can't sit down and focus until that thing is, like, I can't see that pile anymore or, yeah. So, that's funny that you say that because I think that's probably a big one for a lot of people, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what I've been doing is, like, working in the co-working room at Ferguson's. Mm-hmm. That's been helpful. And just kind of switching it up.
Mm-hmm.
I took myself out for coffee the other morning and just wrote in my journal and I didn't even take out my laptop. But just, sometimes you gotta switch it up. Sometimes, honestly, like, a trip to Abbot Kinney for me in Venice, California. If you've never been there, guys, you have to go.
Like, for me, Santa Cruz, yeah.
Yeah, you're a Santa
Cruz. Whenever I can get out. Or Portland, that was the recent one.
Just, like,
get out.
Get out. Go outside.
Next weekend, I'm gonna try and go camping because I've been feeling that. I'm like, I just need to be out of my house for a couple days.
Yeah.
I'll be in nature. It's gonna be hot as hell. But I think it would be worth it for my mental state to get some fresh air.
For your mental state.
Come back to it.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you feel better.
And I can wake up early. This is a weird thing. Well, maybe a lot of people do this. I don't know. I wake up early when I'm on vacation sometimes and, like, go and just have coffee and, like, take in the morning as a, you know, the sun is just coming up. And that's when I, like, I'm not a morning person by any means, but sometimes that's when I can, like, get up and work because I'm like, okay, I'm, like, not at home. There's nothing to clean.
I was going
to
say, because you're not stressed. Sit
here with my laptop, have some tea.
That sounds so nice.
Let's cross our fingers that happens this weekend.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, I want to go somewhere soon. But just take care of yourself. I think that's always the moral of our story because we literally have done it both ways, guys. We've both worked ourselves to the bones and, like, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dead tired, yeah. Burnt out, feeling like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not creative.
No.
When you can't even take care of yourself.
You're stunted at that point.
Yeah, so all this good stuff. Hope this, like, marinates and you meditate on it. And don't get stressed out. I used to get stressed out of, like, I need to have this process and it has to be perfect every time. And, like, depending on the idea or the thing, it's going to move and shift. But the more that you're just in the process, whatever process it is for you at that time, like, be present in it. Like, really feel like you're being a creative. Feel that you're doing something cool. Like, just be as present as possible while you're in it and not overthink it because that pulls you out. And just really enjoy the process that you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as women, like, we're in a very, if you're able to do that, if you're able to own your own business, if you're able to drive your own car, if you're able to have your own money, like, that is amazing. And to use that to the most highest power you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Create some things. Let us know.
Yeah, what is your creative process? Go make something.
Go make something. Let us know. Even if it's the smallest thing, I was telling someone the other day, it's just to get into the process of being creative.
And you're moving forward.
You're moving forward. So get creative with it and let us know what you do.
Cool.
All right. See you next week.
Bye, guys.